Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pop, ball to the five, touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal. That's picked off. And who else? Rondé Barber. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may ride to the Super Bowl with that one.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Throws up with it.
That's intercepted. Derrick Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 29. He's gone. Derrick Brooks all the way.
There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl. And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Today on the Cannon Fire podcast, we are going to take a long, hard look at head coach Todd Bowles and his future as the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 8-8 with one game left to go. And for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who could not get the job done last week against the New Orleans Saints, they will have an opportunity on the road against another NFC South opponent in the Carolina Panthers. I guess we'll have to break the fourth wall here. So yeah, the fire alarm that you hear is my awesome apartment complex. Whenever you try to cook any food at all in this hell house, the fire alarm goes off and lets the entire neighborhood know what your intentions are. So there we go. A special feature from my apartment fire alarm to start the,
sound the alarm on Todd Bowles' job.
Yeah. I think that's what that might mean. Forecasting the future here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, still reeling from a disappointing loss to the New Orleans Saints. We're not going to spend too much time on that, but really wanted to dive into Todd Bowles and the interesting situation he finds himself in here at 8-8, facing a crossroads to end the 2023 regular season. I'm your host, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, as always, my good buddy and co-host from BucksNation.com, Evan Wanish. Evan, how you doing, my friend? You're muted.
That's how I'm doing. Doing good and, moving on from the game last weekend and, this isn't a game preview. We're not really going to talk much about Carolina, matchup wise, we're not really going to be doing that, but, we are going to be discussing, what a win would mean and what a loss would mean and, all sorts of different things tonight. So, just sort of talking about, we're not even really going to be talking, like you said, like a little bit about last week's game, but if you want to catch what we thought about that game, go catch our review show that's up right now. So, moving on, and now you're facing a win or go home, a situation here coming up.
Yeah, the conversation this week for the Bucs begins with that performance at home last Sunday against the Saints. We talked about it on the postgame show, but we'll call back to it. Just an uninspired performance, and a lot of the reasons the Bucs looked lethargic in that first half has to fall on coaching. It feels like the seventh time this year that the Bucs have had an opportunity to prove that they're more than what their record says they are. And I know that they were playing well. I know it was a hot streak. I know it's hard to win four games in a row in the NFL, even harder to win five. So from that perspective, I'm not too torn up about the loss, but what tears me up the most is that every single time this season, when the Bucks are given an opportunity to prove that they are a better team than what their record says, they just fall flat. And, you know, I kind of said the same thing before that game against the Jaguars where, oh, it's going to depend on how they look, how competitive they are in that game to prove to me that they are a playoff team. And they came out, they whooped ass. Nobody expected that to happen the way that it did against Jacksonville. But let's face it, look at the writing on the wall. Look at how injured that Jags team was. Look at Trevor Lawrence not playing his best football and the Bucks playing complimentary football. That was a great win. Don't get me wrong. Great win. But I just expected after that great win for this team to show me more signs of life in that game against New Orleans. And that's the biggest letdown because every single time this season, hell, every single time with head coach Todd Bowles, every time this Bucks team has an opportunity to kind of, you know, take a step up from where we think they are, they don't even look prepared to be there. And that's the biggest conundrum. And that's the biggest common flaw that I've noticed with Todd Bowles is, you know, more times than not, when this team has to show up in a must-win game, they can't even show up.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like you said, when you look unmotivated, unprepared, just like I said, I said it right away on the game review show when you asked, you know, what was the reason? I said, well, pin it on coaching. Like, you know, obviously Dave Canales, I thought, called a bad game. That's not necessarily completely on Todd Bowles, but like Todd Bowles' job is to have these guys throughout the week prepared and ready to play on Sunday. And the Bucks didn't look like a team willing to do that. It didn't look like a team that had a chance to clinch the NFC South. It looked like a team that was a 2 or 3 win football team that's just trying to run out the season, right? They're just trying to get the season over with. That's what it looked like to me. I'm not saying players weren't trying. I'm just saying the motivation didn't seem there, right? When the Saints are fighting and scratching and clawing for every blade of grass, every inch, every yard, every play, and you have the Buccaneers, you could just tell the body language was just completely different. They looked completely flat. And to me, that's on coaching. And that is a big, big indictment on Todd Bowles. It really is. And this type of game, yeah, Bowles' job a month ago this time was not looking promising, right? A month ago this time, the job security was not great. But then they won't go on a 4-game winning streak, and for sure, that 100% helped him, right? 100% helps his case, right? Because we were looking at a team potentially with a top 10 pick. Now you're looking at only needing one more win to win the division. However, this was a game, just like you said, where it was nice against Jacksonville, right? Like, sure, going into Green Bay, in Lambeau, beating that team, but then beating Jacksonville, you know, beating the doors off of Jacksonville. Like, sure, that's great. But this was the game, I think, where, like, if you would have won this game, a 5-game win streak, first time since 2016, fans would have been like, all right, like, you know, this team is going to definitely end up with a winning record, right? They would have been 9-7, possibly 10-7, winning 6 straight to end the year. That would have been a huge momentum boost. Instead, you get a team that looked like they just had somewhere else to be on Sunday. They just looked like a team where, like I said, they were unprepared for anything that the Saints were doing, and the Saints seemed to have all the answers. So the Bucs were out-coached, they were out-physical, they were out-manned by the Saints on Sunday, and ultimately, yes, it falls on the players somewhat, but I also think that falls on the head coach as well.
Todd Bowles over 2 seasons with the Bucs, a 16-17 record, now with an 8-8 record headed into the final regular season game of the year. The Bucs have to beat the 2-14 Carolina Panthers to win the NFC South Division and claim that 4th seed in the NFC. They'll clinch a home playoff game for the 3rd season in a row. But again, like you said, last week, that game against New Orleans, like, that should have meant everything to this Bucks team. It should have. And as you had alluded to, they looked like they had better places to be. And there was no sense of urgency. I had probably the best seats I've ever had to a Bucks game. So not only was I upset because I had great seats, but I felt personally attacked because it was my birthday. But I'm sitting there for 3.5, almost 4 quarters, and I'm looking at this Bucks sideline, and you can see a couple of, guys shaking their heads at each other. I think I said this on the postgame show, but like, I watched Mike Evans walk over to Chris Godwin after another 3-and-out, and they just shook their heads at each other. You know what I mean? Like, kind of had a frustrated look on their face, but I didn't see anyone fired up. I didn't see anyone checking everyone else into the game. You know, when the Bucks were down 20-0, still calling screen passes and inside handoffs, I didn't see anyone losing their mind on the sideline. And I'm not saying that that's how you get your team back into the game. But the biggest difference, I think, between the Bucks team this year and the Bucks team in previous seasons, I mean, even a Bucks team under Todd Bowles, it doesn't seem like there's too many guys on the roster who are willing to freak out and lose their mind and get up in arms over there on the sidelines. Your thoughts? Three.
One. Two. 12. That's what they're missing. You know?
Yeah.
Would this have happened last year? It may be the production, but like when you say about the sideline, right? That guy that's right over your shoulder there wouldn't allow that to happen. You know? It just simply wouldn't. And I think it does show a lack of leadership. Is look, we talk about, and a lot of people talk about, the leadership that guys like JPP and Ndamukong Suh that they brought to the team, right? The leadership that they brought were like, yeah, like they're kind of pricks, you know, like they're kind of like in a good way, obviously, not like a way where like, yeah, you hate playing with them, but like they will tell you when you need to step up. They will call you out basically when they need to. And I just don't know how many people on this football team have that ability right now. And ultimately, I think that's something they're lacking. That's something that it's tough to find. I mean, it's not easy to find for sure. That's not an easy job for Jason Light, but it's something in the offseason. He's got to find two or three of those types of guys that are, you know, going to step up and, you know, yeah, not scream and yell at their teammates. It's just like you said, like, you don't have to sit there and 10 times a game start, you know, going rah-rah and everything like that. Like, you've seen Jameis Winston, all the pregame speeches he did, right? Like, did it seem to work? Not really, you know, like, so that's not the end all be all, but I do think it's important. And I think with the Buccaneers teams from 2019, 2020, 2021, what they had, I think this Bucs team really lacks. Now, I know it is a younger roster than those teams, which plays a factor, right? Kalijah Kancey isn't going to sit there and go nuts, right, on guys, right? This is not going to happen for a rookie. But I do think they're missing that type of leadership right now. So I'm not saying they don't have leaders. Baker Mayfield's a leader. Mike Evans is a leader. Lavonte David's a leader. They're just different types of leaders. They're the different kind of leaders. And I think the Buccaneers lack a certain mentality right now on Sundays that they just don't really have right now.
44 total yards of offense for the Buccaneers in that first half on Sunday against New Orleans. And you talked about the leaders, and I know that we've talked a lot about the coaching staff after this loss, and obviously they deserve a fair share of the blame, but look at the leaders in this locker room. You just said they are a different type of leader, and that's true, but you need more guys to just question the accountability of the rest of the team, because you've had that for the last couple of seasons, and this year you've definitely had some moments where it just doesn't feel like anyone can be held accountable. And when they are, it's too little too late. You know, the Bucs finally found a rhythm with that big play, big touchdown, Trey Palmer, Chris Godwin getting involved late in the game. But it's the fourth quarter. Like, who cares? You know, most of the fans were in the parking lot by the time Chris Godwin scored that touchdown. Unfortunately, it's unfortunate that that's the way that it works. But people felt the need to leave because the Bucs didn't show up. And this is the question that I'm going to ask you before we officially move on from the New Orleans game. And this is just, again, why it sticks with me. Would you say this was the worst loss of the season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I know we can think of a couple of other games where they may have come out, maybe looked a little bit more competitive, but, you know, I can think of several different occasions where they didn't look like they bothered showing up at all. You think back to that Detroit game. You think back to the Philadelphia game, the San Francisco. Well, the San Francisco game, they were a little more competitive than we thought they would be in the first half there, but down the stretch, they fell apart. You know, there's a lot of disappointing losses on the season. Indianapolis is up there for me. That might be one of the worst. That one hurt my chest when they lost that game. But when you rank this New Orleans loss with everything on the line for the Bucs and a chance to clinch the division with a week left in the regular season, where do you rank it as far as their worst losses of the year?
Yeah, maybe not the actual game itself. I just think when you combine the game with the stakes of the game, I think that's what stings a lot too. where, you know, you could have had a real confidence boost, right? Sweeping New Orleans, who has just given you hell, right? I mean, it has just been terrible playing New Orleans for the Buccaneers. I mean, not even, we talk about, okay, Tom Brady or whatever. That was just magnified because it was Tom Brady, right? The Saints at that time, especially in 2020, they were good, right? Like that was the matchups, right? But even before that, like, I mean, since like 2010, like the Saints have just routinely dominated the Bucs, and Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham and Marcus Colston and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and Marshawn Lattimore and Cam Jordan, all these guys. And you had a chance to win four straight over them, sweep them 2 years in a row at home to clinch the division, and you come out like that. I think that, not necessarily how they played, I think it's the stakes in the game and how they played that I think makes that one of the worst losses. I'm not sure if it is the worst. I mean, the Atlanta game is pretty bad.
Yeah.
That was at home too, and I think like the Saints, like credit to the Saints, they played a good game. Like the Saints battled, and you know the Saints, you know, I thought they played pretty well. Atlanta in that game in Tampa, I didn't think Atlanta played well at all. They turned the ball over three times. Like the Buccaneers should have won that game. So we're talking about worst loss. It might be that
Desmond Ridder was a liability for Atlanta in both of those games, seemingly. So right, you know, I definitely right. think yeah, that first like, game. You talk about the crucial mistakes that kept the Bucs in the game. As far as performance, that was probably one of their worst performances of the season. We got a $20 super chat from your biggest fan, Kathy Gillespie, just in time
Thank you, Kathy.
To sound the alarms here. $20 super chat from Kathy, longtime season ticket holder. The product that was put out on that field was so disappointing. Saints fans around me were so obnoxious. Really tough one to swallow, even with a win this week. A shitty taste after that. And that's
the point. Yes, that's the point.
That's exactly where we find ourselves now. We'll get to Todd Bowles and his future as the Bucs head coach here in a second. But looking ahead to this Panthers game this week, we obviously know what it means. So we're not going to spend too much time breaking down the playoff scenario for the Bucs if they win or they lose. I mean, winning you're in, losing you're done. You know, the Bucs officially have a 0.1% chance to make the postseason because
I think it involves a tie. I think.
You're gonna need basically if they lose,
I think the Bucs need to tie.
If they lose to Carolina, they need Atlanta and New Orleans to tie.
Yeah, I know. I think also like if the Bucs tie, I think they can make it in too somehow. I don't know. It's win or lose. Like that's what winning in, losing out. That's
Talking about the performance that they're going to need to put on the field here. I'll say this: after a loss against the Saints, the way that they played, they're going to turn a lot of people away. But the Bucs were doing a good job of winning over some hearts and minds during that 4-game win streak. Winning cures all, as we have talked about. And I do think, to be honest with you, I haven't said this. I don't think I said this on the post game. I'm going to say it now just as a little sidebar here so I remember later. My stance on quarterback Baker Mayfield has not changed. I know a week ago I said that, you know, I'm ready to buy in. This is what it is. And I still feel that way. I just want to make that part of the conversation clear. We're talking more so about Todd Bowles this week and the condition the Bucs showed up ready to play in. So looking ahead to this week against Carolina, the Bucs are going to have to do a lot this week to win some people over the way that they did after that 4-game win streak. After just a brutal loss to New Orleans in the fashion that it did, you're going to have Mike Evans go for 200-plus yards and 3 touchdowns again, I think, to get people really excited about the potential the Bucs may have here in the postseason with a win this Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talk about... you know, I just want to go back to Kathy's point really quick. Again, the Bucs, let's be real, like, probably going to win on Sunday, right? Like, most likely going to win. Like, even if it's not pretty, most likely going to win. So you win the division and you're like, yeah, like, you feel so much worse about it, you know? And that's what I was saying about after the first Carolina game, after the second Atlanta game, they won the games. You were like, yeah, but... You know, after the Green Bay game and the Jacksonville games, you didn't really feel that way. But after those two, the Atlanta and the Carolina games, you're like, yeah, but they didn't really play well. And that's how you're going to be feeling now after clinching a division title. And they set themselves up for it. And Todd Bowles, look, he's the man you're all going to point at, right? The two people that you always point at are the head coach and the quarterback. Like that's what you point at, especially when, now I don't think Baker Mayfield played great on Sunday. I don't even think he played good, but like he was far from the biggest issue on Sunday. Like he wasn't the biggest. He wasn't the reason they lost that football game, right? Like if he went out and threw five picks and the Bucs lost by three, sure, all right, he's the reason they lost. But he didn't, you know. Could he have made, you know, a couple of, you know, better plays? Yeah, like I said, I don't think he played very well. I held on to the ball, threw that one pick. I know the one was tipped, so I'll give him a pass on that. But this team ultimately looked not prepared, and that's why, and that falls on the head coach. So the reason we're making this podcast here is as we're talking about, you know, Todd Bowles, like you said, his security and everything, and Scott Reynolds, who, again, not a report, this is not, but Scott Reynolds, obviously Pewter Report, very, very, very plugged in. And he does basically say in his two-point conversion thing, he normally does two statements, two questions, and then two predictions. And his first statement was that the Bulls and the Bucks are at a crossroads in Carolina, that, you know, it's basically he pretty much says what I said pretty much. It said about how Dennis Allen actually had the Saints do a fully padded practice on Wednesday because the Saints knew that this game was it for them. So they were trying to be as prepared as possible. And again, the Saints out physicaled the Bucks. You wonder why, you know.
The late hit certainly helped too. You know, that's been an issue with the Saints team, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so Reynolds basically says, and again, this is not, he does say, and I sort of, the more I've been thinking about it, the more I agree with it. Like he says, like a loss against the Panthers on Sunday, like Bowles will almost certainly be fired. And like, I agree.
Yeah,
like,
it's, I mean, if they
I
lose
think
to,
it's almost 100%.
If they like, lose to Carolina, you may as well leave that head coach. You may as well leave him in Carolina. You may as well just not even let him come back with the team. I think that a loss to Carolina on Sunday makes this entire conversation we're having so much easier. Because I actually
think a loss to Carolina, especially if Baker doesn't play well, I actually think that would draw into question his future with the team too. I think that's how big of a collapse that would be. Yeah. Losing your final two games, including the last one to the worst team in the NFL, that can't happen.
I just wanted to reiterate that if they lose to Carolina, like no ifs, ands, or buts, everybody's gone. Baker's gone. Bowles is gone. Canales is gone. I don't know if it affects how the Bucks address their free agency, but you better believe if Baker's going to be gone, it's going to affect their draft. It's going to affect how they build this team for the future, and it's potentially going to be around a franchise quarterback they pick up in the 24 draft. But we obviously have to wait to dive into this a little bit more until after the game, yeah, because it's either going to go one way or the other here.
Right. But and then Reynolds, and this is important. This is his perspective, right? And this is me and Reynolds share a very similar opinion on this. And this is what I've been saying. This is what I was saying a few weeks ago as well. And a lot of people didn't love it, especially when it came to Mayfield. But he said, but if I'm the Glazers, I'm demanding that Bowles show he can not only win another hat and T-shirt, but that he can actually win a playoff game too. Otherwise, Bowles' overall record in Tampa Bay would be 17-17 in the regular season with a win in Carolina and could very well be 0-2 in home playoff games, and that's simply not good enough. I agree. Like, that's not good enough to me. But he also, and here's the interesting one, and then we'll talk about, like I said, you can go check that out on pewterreport.com. Scott Reynolds does a great job. Then he does two bold predictions. His prediction one is the Bucs will win in Carolina. And then prediction two, and this is the big one, he predicts that Todd Bowles will get fired at the end of the season. So he says, this is the full thing, full article right here. Todd Bowles is a good man. I'm not calling for him to be fired. Whatever happens will happen. He's going to keep his job or lose his job based on his win-loss column, not any of my columns on pewterreport.com. Having said that, I just get the sense that the Glazers will move on from Bowles, who went 8-9 in Tom Brady's final season and will finish either 8-9 or 9-8 this year in the dismal NFC South. Barely winning a bad division 2 years in a row isn't a badge of honor, especially when it comes down to the wire both seasons. Then Bowles has had to navigate a coaching staff he inherited and wasn't all too fond of last year, and a dire salary cap situation this year, and having to play a bunch of rookies as a result. He needs to be commended for accepting those challenges and doing the best he could. And this is my whole thing. This sentence right here describes what I've talked about with Baker Mayfield, what I talked about with Todd Bowles for weeks. But can't Tampa Bay do better? Shouldn't the Bucs demand better? Sunday's home loss with the division on the line was a very bad look. Tampa Bay looked totally unprepared and not ready to play. Had Bowles Bucs already wrapped up the division earlier, had a 2 or 3 game cushion atop the NFC South, it would be a different story. It's hard to imagine Tampa Bay winning a home playoff game against a better team like Dallas, Philadelphia, or Detroit. All currently have 11-5 records, but we'll see what happens.
You know, and it's one of those things where we talk about the position this Bucs team is in, and they are on the verge of potentially winning 8 or 9 games for the season. If they win 9 games, they've upped their win total a game from last year. They've secured the division for a third year in a row. They are going to the playoffs with a home playoff game as a division leader for the third year in a row. But, you know, after that win against the Jaguars, I came on this podcast and I talked about how, as far as the 2023 season, the Bucs needed a lot of things to go right if they were going to be a team to win the division this year, in my opinion. I said that at the beginning of the year when I predicted them to only win 7 games. Like, I said that a lot of things were going to have to go right. The offensive line with the moving parts, everybody was going to have to play above average. Rashad White was going to have a breakout season. Baker Mayfield was going to have to maybe play some of the best football of his career. Mike Evans was going to have to prove he can still be a wide receiver one on this football team. There's a lot of defensive guys we can dive into as well. But I said after that Jags game, when the Bucs were 8-7, I said, you cannot fault this team, and you cannot fault this, I think I said, you can't fault this coaching staff for winding up with the best case scenario. Because let's face it, as far as the quarterback signing with Baker Mayfield, the best
that's a home run, yeah.
Yeah. Right, but the best case scenario was for him to come in here on a $4 million contract and throw 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, which he's on pace for, over 4,000 yards. That's a damn good QB season, statistically speaking.
Especially for 1 year, $4 million.
Right. For what they paid, for sure. Mike Evans having statistically one of the best seasons of his career. Rashad White absolutely blossomed in the second half of the year. The offensive line, there's a little bit of nitpicking. Aaron Stinney has been on a bit of a downward spiral these last few weeks, but
Tristan Wirfs, Tristan Wirfs, the transition's been great, you know, like, there's a little bit to be desired on the interior, for sure, but, like, Gedeky hasn't been a turnstile. Like, he's been improved. Like, Canales has had his struggles, but, like, he's shown signs of brilliance. Like, he's not a complete, like, bonehead, you know? There's a lot of things. The rookies, right? The rookies are making an impact as well. You're right.
The most underwhelming part of this season, though, is we can look at the record, we can look at the games the Bucs have left and the position they find themselves in to win the division. Best case scenario you could have thought at the beginning of the year. But when you look at the record and you break down the wins and the losses and you really look at how this team played against stiff competition this year, which is who you face in the NFL playoffs, that's the most underwhelming part of it. And that's what brings a lot of heat onto Todd Bowles, is that, yeah, the argument can be made like, oh, it's tough to fire a guy after winning the division 2 years in a row. You know, basically making the best out of what he was given. Like, first-year play caller with Dave Canales, new quarterback, new offensive system. A lot of inconsistencies, a lot of question marks to start the year that the Bucs needed to go well if they were going to win games. And those things have gone well. The Bucs have won games. But if they were coached that much better, how many more games would they win this year against quality opponents? You know, they beat up on a quality Jacksonville team who was decimated by injuries. Like, I don't think there's an excuse, because, again, I said it after the game, Trevor Lawrence, he cleared concussion protocol. He was out there available, ready to go. That's their starting franchise quarterback. The fact of the matter is he played. It's not my fault. It's not the Bucs' fault that he played like crap. They took advantage, and they did what good football teams do. They played complimentary football, and they looked like a playoff team for 4 quarters in that Jacksonville game. Well, I mean, when you got second and third string guys there late in the fourth quarter, it's hard to argue that. But regardless, they won that game handily. They beat Green Bay convincingly. But you can pick apart flaws in both Jacksonville and Green Bay and point at, you know, those to say, well, maybe this is why the Bucs looked as dominant as they did. Because every single time this year they have faced a tough opponent, they have crumbled. And every single time this year that that has happened, we point at Todd Bowles, we point at this coaching staff, and we point at what condition the players were ready to play in at the start of that week. And it's just been brought into question too many times this year. And I think that's the biggest hang up with Bowles, is that we can look at him making the best of this situation, but if he was just a better ball coach, how much better would this situation really be for Tampa Bay, do you think?
Yeah, so really quick.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Buccaneers are 1-6 this season against teams with an over 500 record. The only win comes against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But if you remember, like at the time, like the Jaguars were reeling. Like the Jaguars had lost, I think, their previous three games. Like they caught the Jaguars at a good time. And like you said, though, they took advantage of it. Kudos to them. But they did. If they would have played the Jaguars 6 weeks earlier, it might have been a different game. But then if you count teams that are 500 or better, they're 3-7. All right, the two wins being against New Orleans and then against Green Bay. I mean, that's just not good enough. You know, like that's just not – you're going to – in the playoffs, like you're going to be playing these playoff teams. Like you're going to be playing the Philadelphia. You could play – you're likely going to play the Eagles in the first round. You lost the Eagles in week three. You know, if you somehow beat the Eagles, you could run into the Lions, who you lost to. Like, you know, there's a lot of teams, like the Cowboys, who you didn't play this year, but you lost to last year in the playoffs, and it wasn't close, right? And you're just looking at the 49ers. You know, you could play them, who you lost to them. So when you're looking at it and you're evaluating this team, yeah, like the wins that they've had, okay. You win the games you're supposed to win. True, right? Like, they, to me, for the most part, they've won the games they're supposed to win. There's been a few, like the Atlanta game in Tampa, just like I said. I would say that the Texans game, even though I think the Texans are pretty good, and like, I'm not even talking about the circumstances of that game. I'm talking like before the game, you're like, oh, the Bucs maybe should win this one. You know, Carolina, they beat, whatever. You know, you should beat the worst team in the NFL. I expect you to do that. But it's those games, right? They haven't been able. They couldn't beat Indy. You know, they couldn't beat San Francisco. They couldn't beat Buffalo. Like, and honestly, these games haven't been particularly close. You know, like the Eagles beat them by 14. The Lions beat them by 14. The Bills beat them by 6. But actually, the Bucs scored a garbage time touchdown. So it was 24-11 for the longest time. So that's 13. The 49ers beat them by 13. The Colts beat them by 7. And then the Saints just beat them by 10. You're looking at it, and if you can't beat a quality opponent every now and then, you are an average football team. And to me, mediocre is death, basically. Right, like if you are mediocre, you are stuck in no man's land. Like you're just stuck, and it's hard to get out of that. It really is. It's hard to get out of that. You know, that like that that purgatory, basically, right? It is tough to get out. The one thing I will say, we're talking about Todd Bowles' job security. Tony Dungy made the playoffs three straight seasons. Okay, had a winning record, and by the way, in all those seasons. Todd Bowles had a losing record his first season as Bucks head coach. Tony Dungy went 11-5, right, in 1999. He followed that up in 2000 with 10-6. And then he followed that up in 2001 with 9-7. Lost in the first round, or I should say maybe the first playoff game each time. The Glazers fired him. So it would not be a shock if, even if the Buccaneers make the playoffs, like Reynolds predicts, like I think me and you are going to predict, right? They're going to beat the Panthers, make the playoffs. It would not be a shock if we're previewing a playoff game. We're reviewing the playoff game, and then our next episode is the day after saying Todd Bowles got fired. You know, it would not be a shock. And quite frankly, if that occurs, and like, look, and I also think that the circumstances of that playoff game matter too. We've talked about that before. If they lose 28-24, it's different than losing 31-10. Like, it's completely different. You lose 31-10, I'd be like, what are we doing here? Like, is that what you're going to be every year? Barely make the playoffs and then just get blown out in a playoff game. And then you want to look at, so we're talking about keeping Todd Bowles or firing Todd Bowles, right? It's a big future decision, correct?
It's huge. It's huge. Yeah, I mean, it's officially.
Here's why.
Yeah.
So you're keeping him in 2024. Let's say he wins the NFC South. Because if he loses the NFC South, he's not going to be here. If he wins the NFC South, you're going to be playing a first place schedule next season. That is important. So if assuming you win the NFC South and you play a first place schedule next season, here are your 2024 opponents. This isn't the schedule. The schedule comes out in April, but this is the opponents. The home schedule: Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Commanders, Denver Broncos, Las Vegas Raiders, Atlanta Falcons, New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, San Francisco 49ers, Baltimore Ravens, on the road, Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Chargers, Atlanta Falcons, New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, Detroit Lions. That is a very, very difficult schedule.
It's every team.
Extremely difficult.
It's every team that they struggled against this year. You know, every game that we talk about where they just did not look ready to play against a superior opponent, you talk about the Lions game, the Eagles game, the Niners game, and then on top of that, you get to visit Kansas City next year as well. Wouldn't that just be awesome?
You get to visit Kansas City. You get to visit Dallas. You get to host Baltimore. Yeah, it's just, you know, great.
The hits keep on coming.
Just what you want.
So we'll wrap it up with this. And, you know, this is what I want to take away, honestly, from what Scott Reynolds had put out there in his two-point conversion this week. You know, this isn't a report, as Evan had said. This isn't gospel that Scott Reynolds is spewing. But he is a guy who has consistently been one of the most plugged-in media members.
He doesn't write stuff for nothing.
Correct. So the official prediction, what I am gathering here, is that unless Todd Bowles can win this playoff game or convincingly lose this playoff game, it's going to be an uphill battle for him to return as head coach next year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, he in the article, he says, the sense I have. That means to tell me that, yeah, while he's not reporting this, right, like, he reported that Byron Leftwich was going to be fired.
Weeks before the end of the season.
Yes, he said Byron Leftwich, and then literally minutes after the Cowboys eliminated the Bucks, he sent press on that, you know, published on that story that Byron Leftwich was to be fired. That's a report. That is, Pewter Report is reporting that. This is just him saying there's a sense. Saying the word sense is a big key there, because to me, that reads as somebody along the way has at least alluded to him that this could happen. whether he's asking a source like, hey, is Todd Bowles' job like 100% good even if they make the playoffs? And the source is like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, that to me is alluding to the fact that, yeah, there is some semblance of truth to this. Because like I said, Scott Reynolds does not write just for clicks. He doesn't write just to, you know, appease fans. He writes what he hears, and he writes also what he thinks. And he doesn't always just write his opinion and quote it as fact. And I think the fact that he put that, you know, into words and then press publish on that, I think that matters. Like, and I think that is significant.
It is some lofty expectations for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week against the Carolina Panthers. Just one away from securing a spot in the NFC playoffs there at the fourth seed, securing a home playoff game for the third year in a row, and securing the NFC South division for the third year in a row. But for Todd Bowles...
And yeah, really, really quick, sorry.
No, you're good.
Because Edward Hernandez brought up something in the chat that I do. The defense... I think that might be the biggest reason why, if we're sitting here two or three Mondays from now and Todd Bowles is gone, I think that's the biggest reason you could say, yep, that's why. His defense has regressed. What was our biggest complaint? We said, oh man, you know, the offense was great in Green Bay. But the defense left a little bit to be desired, right? Jordan Love was passed for 300 yards. They didn't get any turnovers. Like, you know, his defense has regressed. Desmond Ridder threw all over the Bucs in Atlanta. The Bucs were just able to escape with a win because Younghoe Koo missed two field goals he normally makes. Like, that's the truth of it, you know? And the defense has now, they look good against Jacksonville, and they looked okay against New Orleans, but definitely, I mean, in that scenario, you want them to just shut the game down. But the offense was so bad, it wouldn't have mattered, I don't think. But Bowles' defense has regressed, and I think that is the biggest thing where if you're looking at Todd Bowles, like, yeah, you keep him for the defense. And if the defense has been pretty brutal, like, what's the point then? You know, and I don't see much, and this is my opinion, right? This is not what I'm, you know, I'm not reporting anything. Personally, even if the Bucs win, even if that playoff game is close, I would still fire Todd Bowles. If the Bucs win, sure, you get to keep your job. But even if you lose that playoff game, I would fire Todd Bowles just because I don't see how you can get much better than what you are now with this guy as your head coach. That's my thing. I think he's a great defensive coordinator. He's a great defensive mind. He's a great guy. You know, I think the players love playing for him. But it's a business, and I just, to me, his ceiling is what you're a type of Todd Bowles' ceiling as a head coach is the type of season you're seeing right now. He has one winning season in his entire career as a head coach in the NFL. That was his first season ever as a head coach at 10-6 with the Jets. And he had a chance to clinch that on Sunday, his second winning season, and he couldn't do it. So now he's staring down the barrel of another losing season. I think the ceiling for a team with Todd Bowles as your head coach is probably 9 wins. And to me, that gets you nowhere.
Well, and we're talking about a late surge here from a Bucs team who won 4 games in a row to start the month of December. Like, that's not something that you can account a team to do. You can't count on a team to do that every single year to bail you out, because before that 4-game win streak, the Bucs were 3-7. And if the NFC South, if the NFC South division is not in shambles the way that it is at 4-7, do you really believe that this is a team that still has a fighting chance to make the postseason? Like, I think a lot of that context is 100% important when you bring up what this Bucs team has looked like. And then also regarding the defense, the beginning of the year, I think I said this back in 2022 as well, but the beginning of this season, I had said, you know, more times than not this year, we're going to need the defense to be the anchor for this team, because it's a unit that has played pretty well every year Todd Bowles has been here, from defensive coordinator to head coach. Like, that 2022 defense, I still don't think they're going to get the credit they will always deserve. I thought that was a solid unit that was dealing with a historically bad offense that was losing them games. But the beginning of 2023, I was counting on the defense to anchor and win us some games. And here we are, just one game away from the postseason, and we kind of feel the opposite. Like, the biggest development from that four-game win streak was, look how good the offense looks. Look how the offense is finally winning us games, because, you know, they really have only been in a position to do that a couple of other times this year. Looking at the Houston game, that's probably the biggest example of the offense showing up ready to play, and then unfortunately with 45 seconds left in the game, the defense, you know, folds under pressure. And it's,
Todd Bowles' unit.
It just hasn't been the same since that week. I don't think it really has been the same unit. They've played some great games. You've got some great players having a great season, but cohesively, it doesn't feel like the Bucks have found a rhythm ever since that Houston game on defense.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, I think that's the biggest knock on Bowles right now is you're looking at this defense and it is just, it's getting worse. And, I don't know. And Jared in the chat says, I think Bowles isn't a great head coach, but given what he was left with this year, he had earned another year if he wins against Carolina. To me, I go back to your first sentence. You think he's earned another year, but you don't think he's a great head coach. It is, why keep him? You know, to me, like, that's accepting mediocre. Like, that's accepting average or below average. To me, I would just be trying to leave no stone unturned, right? Like, just try and find every way to improve. And I don't know.
I know that I said we're going to end the show like 5 minutes ago, but this is going to be the last point to end the show. You talked about leaving no stone unturned, so I will end it with this. Jared Cox, follow-up point. They were how much invested into the dead cap this year coming into the 2023 season?
I believe that the number was $81 million. But yeah, look, you also have to account for last year, too. Like, everybody's, like, evaluating Bowles against his first year as head coach. Last year was a disaster. Like last year, if the division was halfway decent, he misses the playoffs with Tom Brady. Last year, if Tom Brady and Mike Evans don't just have some magical second half where Tom Brady throws three touchdowns to Mike Evans, the Bucs lose to Carolina and they probably don't make the playoffs. I don't get it. And also, you know, Malcolm Hawthorne in the chat says, unfortunately, I think the Buccaneers would retain Todd Bowles even if we lose the last game, just a hunch. Last game meaning Carolina?
I don't think...
If you're talking about playoff game, maybe. But last game against Carolina, I don't see how.
Yeah, I think that's a clear sign of where this Bucs team actually is. You know, with the momentum that they've had during the month of December, to not only come out flat in the game that you could have secured the division against New Orleans, like, at the end of the day, it's the Saints game, so I'm still pissed about it. I'm still pissed they looked as flat as they did, but nobody, I think, at the end of the day, since they already beat New Orleans once this season, I don't think a lot of people are going to fault the Bucs for beating or for losing to the Saints 9 times out of 10, right? With the added circumstances of this game, obviously, it's hard to swallow, but not a lot of people are going to be upset. But if you come out flat to the Saints and then you find a way to lose to the worst team in the NFL the following season, everybody's gone.
With the playoffs on the line.
Correct. Like, everybody's gone. There's just not even excuse to make that kind of thing okay. I don't think there's any amount of coach speak that Todd Bowles or David Canales or anyone else on that coaching staff can come up with there at the podium that deserves them having a job next year. That would be an all-time collapse. It would be one of the most embarrassing losses in franchise history, dare I say. And this is a franchise. No, yes. This is a franchise that is one of the best in the NFL at losing football games.
Yes, it would. I think it would be the most embarrassing loss in franchise history. I'm not kidding. It would be something like 20 years from now you'd still be talking about. Like, if they lose on Sunday, that is. Like, that's even something to where, like, not saying it's going to happen, but if I'm the Glazers, I'd be looking at Jason Light being like, you built this team? You know, like, I'm a big Jason Light fan, but that just, I'm not saying Jason Light would get fired. I'm not saying he should be fired, but, like, that would be, like, an evaluation of everybody. Like you said, Baker Mayfield would, unless they lose like 35-31 and Baker Mayfield lights it up, then maybe. But like, Baker Mayfield wouldn't be back. Todd Bowles wouldn't be back. Dave Canales wouldn't be back. Brand new coaching staff, brand new quarterback. Like, there would be just a ton of change. And it would be needed, like, necessary. Like, heads would have to roll because there would have to be consequences for that. Losing your final two games of the season, and it's not like you're playing the 49ers this week. You know, you're playing the worst team in the NFL. the worst team.
I know we've got a lot of flack on this podcast this season for being too negative at times, is what people tell us. They say that we're too negative. We don't always enjoy the good things this Bucks team has brought us in 2023. And I know a lot of people are going to listen to this and be like, man, these guys already think the Bucks are going to lose to the Panthers. We never once said that. We both said that we think the Bucks are going to win. But you are... You are a lion, dog face, pony soldier. If you cannot look me in the eyes and say that you feel 100% confident that the Bucks are going to win this game this Sunday, I mean, you're a liar. You're a liar. If you can tell me beyond a shadow of a doubt, you do not think that there is just the smallest chance that with how inconsistent the Bucks have been in 2023, you don't think there's the tiniest bit chance they could go out there and fumble the bag. And I want to believe they're a better team. I want to believe that they are a better team, and I want to believe that they win, and I think they will win. But, yeah, man, yeah, those losses, the losses that they have had this year and the games that we just spent 45 minutes breaking down, some of the ugly losses they've had this year, those games and the coaching in those games are the reason I feel the way that I do right now. It's hard to describe my feelings about the Bucks right now. It's kind of a melancholy feeling. You know what I mean? Like I know we're almost at the end of the road. I just want to see them put down gracefully.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't. But it certainly is an uphill battle for Todd Bowles and this coaching staff.
You know, yeah, you're looking at that dog and you're like, you know, he's only got a little bit left, and you're just hoping that it's not painful, you know. You know, then Vincent Price in the chat says, still won't top our 1999 NFC Championship game against the Rams, aka the worst game of my entire life. This very day we got robbed. No. That wasn't embarrassing. We said embarrassing, right? You lost in an NFC Championship game. The refs ended up screwing you, this and that. That one hurts for sure. This would be embarrassing. Like truly laughing, like embarrassed. Everyone in that organization should be embarrassed if they lose on Sunday. Like everybody.
Well, I guess we'll end it on a positive note here, ladies and gentlemen. That's just about going to do it for this week's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Bit of a chaotic show this evening, but we appreciate you bearing with us. That's the beauty of doing a live podcast. And I want to say personally, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us live over here in the chat room on YouTube. Brutal as Bucks, Jared Cox, Richard T, Vincent Price, who's been giving me some love on my creamsicle Bucko Bruce hat. Thank you very much, my friend. Our good friend Kathy Gillespie, thank you for the $20 super chat earlier. Edwin Hernandez, West Coast, Richard T, Willie Beam, and the moderator holding it down as always. We appreciate your guys' support. Subscribe to the channel for more great Bucks content if you have not already. Follow the show on social media as well, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And, of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucks news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucks_daily. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL and check out his written work at BucksNation.com. What have you got this week, my friend?
Yeah, going to have the final regular season Q&A out as well. And then also the X Factor. So hoping, you know, it could be the final Q&A of the season. It could be the final X Factor of the season. Hopefully not. But if the Buccaneers lose, I'll have a ton of offseason content the following weeks. If they win, we'll have the playoff X Factor and the playoff Q&A. So stay tuned for all that good stuff.
We will talk to you later this week for our game preview as we dive into the final regular season matchup of the 2023 season for the Bucks taking on NFC South rival, the Carolina Panthers. If they win, they're in. If they lose, you might as well blow this whole thing up. Bucks are walking a dangerously fine line headed into week 18 of the 2023 season. I almost forgot. Last but not least, you can find myself Instagram and Twitter. Instagram and Twitter. At Redicus, without the voice crack that time. RHETTAKUS. If you follow me, I will follow you back. But that's the show. Like I said, we'll talk to you later this week on our game preview. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening, and go Bucks.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. and you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.